The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Good Friday afternoon. Welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show here on ESPN Radio. My name is Braden Gall. Honored to be sitting in the chair for Paul this week. You can get to me on Twitter at Braden Gall. If you want to hang out in the sewers, that's fine. That is my social media drug of choice. So please, please come with me into the sewers of the Twitter sphere. 855-242-7285, the more traditional avenue of approach. And we're going to talk offensive lines here coming up momentarily because they are arguably the most important part of a team not named quarterback, and rarely do they get the coverage that they deserve. So we're going to bring on one of the great offensive linemen analysts that's ever walked planet Earth, Cole Kubelik, to talk about the SEC's offensive lines in 2023 coming up in just a little bit. Statement from Dawn Staley, of course, and this is about the passing of Nicky McCray, great Tennessee Volunteer. Not the top-tier legend that you think of right away, but one of the most important and most dominant players of the Lady Vols Pat Summitt era. A two-time SEC Player of the Year, 1994-1995, three-time SEC champion, two-time All-American, two-time gold medalist on the 1996 U.S. Olympic team that essentially led to the creation of the entire WNBA. This is a statement from Dawn Staley. It's hard to think about Nikki's passing because all I can see is how fully she lived, from her days as a brash rookie in USA basketball to becoming my friend and colleague to the way she mentored young players. Nikki did everything with her whole heart. Every teammate, every coach, every player who spent time with her knew first that she cared about them as a person, and everything else came from that place. I am heartbroken that cancer has taken that light from us, but I know that she would want us to be the ones to carry it on in her absence. I moved to Tennessee when I was 13 years old, and I learned about Lady Vols basketball, and one of the names that predated me, I did not get to see her play, was Nicky McCray. 1991 to 1995, missed the national championships from Pat Summitt, who won it in, of course, 91 the year before she got there, and then three straight. When I moved to Tennessee, the Lady Vols won three straight national titles. And so not getting to see Nicky McCray, but hearing the stories, she reminds me, and I have learned, that's the type of player that makes you a fan of it. Certainly the stars make you a fan of your favorite teams, programs, sports. But it's the players like Nicky McCray, the point guard who just did everything and made everybody better around her, that also, like, the layers of fandom that can build over time. And so I've been asking you guys, like, who are the names of players that aren't the stars? They're not on the Mount Rushmore of you know, it's not Bo Jackson, it's not Darren McFadden. Unfortunately, it's the Ryan Mallets and the Nicky McCrays and the Terry Prices of the world, all three of whom we lost too early over the course of the last couple of weeks as SEC fans. So, again, in the same way that Dawn Staley talks about Nicky and carrying on that light, I think part of the reason that those three names stick to me together today as we started the show was that they all just make being a fan great, and it's why we enjoy sports. Our players like that. The stars are easy to love. It's easy to love Tim Tebow if you're a Florida fan, but it's so many other players that really make being a fan so rich and so full of life. And I think Nicky McCray, Ryan Mallett, Terry Price, all three of whom I think embodied that part of being a fan. So who are those names for you guys? 855-242-7285. Connor Shaw, Jared Lorenzen, Freddie Kitchens. I've got Major Ogilby. I got Warwick Dunn. I got Johnny Cooks. I got Patrick Willis, D'Amico Ryans. There are no wrong answers. And some of this is to show people of different generations some names that maybe they need to go check up on and take a listen to and take a look at. Let's go to Rich. Rich in Alabama. Rich, welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Nice job on the show today, and a great question to prime the radio pump. My guy from the early 90s at Auburn University, Jason Miska, guy that comes from the Northeast and walks on at Auburn, and an undersized linebacker who really just stepped in and was a menace defensively for the Tigers on that undefeated team in 1993. And he's always resonated with me. And I think that he embodies what the Auburn spirit and the Auburn creed of work, hard work is. And he's always stuck with me. So Jason Miska, War Eagle.
That's a great call right there. And that's the exact type of player I'm talking about. Thank you, Rich, for that call. Like that is the type of player, you know, when you think of that Auburn team, how many – like, is he the first name you think of? Maybe not. But he's right there on that next tier. There's no question about that. No question about that. 855-242-7285. Dr. Bulldog, welcome to the Paul Finebaum Show, sir. Good to talk to you 3 days in a row, my man.
Yes, sir. I love this topic, man. I'm going to go with Roland Champ Bailey, you know. Champ, you know, a special teams demon. He played offense and defense under Jim Donnan. Those teams were nothing to write home about. But by the same token, he was a consensus All-American, Jim Thorpe Award winner his junior year. And I believe he was recruited by Ray Golf, but then Jim Donner took over his career. And he made you watch Georgia football. They didn't win the SEC title. They didn't win the national championship. But when you think of Champ Bailey, he had two brothers, Boss Bailey, a linebacker, and Ronald, who came first to Acid. But Champ Bailey, an NFL Hall of Famer, is one of those names where, yeah, you got to watch Georgia because of this cat. A couple of pick sixes. Yep, he had a couple of special teams touchdown, 4-2 speed. You know, again, nothing to write home about with those particular teams. But Champ Bailey was the man before he was the fifth pick with Washington Redskins at the time. Now, let me comment on this, Kirby Smart issue relative to his student-athletes. Of course, you can't watch your student-athletes 24-7, but as your guest referenced, man, it was a good interview. When you're on top, the magnifying glass is heightened, you know, in the eye of the sky, so to speak. And all I got to go back to is Dr. Tom Osborne at Nebraska when he had Lawrence Phillips. He suspended Lawrence Phillips, I believe, twice, and he still played in the national title game. Lawrence Phillips was scaling dormitory walls and dorms and things that look like Spider-Man beating up women and all that. But Dr. Tom Osborne tried to help him out by playing him in the national title game. I believe that's the game where they blew out Florida 62-24, the Gators. And, of course, you know, Barry Switzer had his issues when they were on top. Bosworth, Jamel Holloway was in the drugs in 85, and they suspended him. And Barry Switzer was a renegade. He didn't care as long as they won. So when you're on top, the bottom line is the magnifying glass, you know, is so high. And I think Kirby hasn't lost control of his institution, but it goes noted that the light is magnified more, you know. And I mentioned Tom Osborne because I'm out here on the West Coast, and Lawrence Phillips is from California. He's deceased now, died in jail. But they tried to help him. But, you know, so when you're on top, it's one of those things where, you know, you just cannot police everyone on a 24/7 basis. Lawrence Phillips. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dr. Bulldog. And Lawrence Phillips is an interesting one just because that offense, you could argue that is the greatest offense ever put on a college football field. I don't think that's hyperbole to say that mid-90s Tommy Frazier, Lawrence Phillips offense, was Corey Schlesinger on that team too? Like that was the most you knew exactly what they were going to do. You knew exactly what they were going to do, and you could do nothing about it. You couldn't do anything about it. Three championships in 4 years in sort of a modern-ish era of football. Only Saban has really accomplished that, and that's what Georgia's trying to do this year, and it's why all the spotlight and all the headlines. Let me throw a few Georgia names at you guys. I have not mentioned – I wrote down three names for Georgia and again, these guys are big names. You're going to know who they are, but they're not – it's not, you know, the number one elite of elite. I think Champ Bailey is like one of the first names I would ever think of, but – I mean, Hines Ward as a player, you know, I grew up playing wide receiver in Texas and in Tennessee all through middle school and high school, and the way he played the game was just like this thing that you wanted to be, you know. And again, I was a teenager, I was a middle schooler when he was playing at Georgia. One that I just enjoyed versatility-wise, Thomas Davis would just take your head off. And sort of the last of a thumper era of college football players where – my God, like a guy that could play linebacker and safety, like that, the versatility. He was like the jack back or the star backer or whatever you want to call it before it was like a part of every defense in America. Thomas Davis is a guy that I just loved watching on Saturdays. And here's a really random one for you Georgia fans. Rennie Curran. This guy had like 250 tackles his last two seasons, undersized, not a big-time recruit. Nobody, you know, he's not a pro prospect. But, like, the heartbeat of that defense for Georgia, like, I think 08, 09, I think those 2 years, two pretty good teams. with Matt Stafford, I think. So Rennie Curran, Thomas Davis, and Hines Ward were the three I wrote down for you Georgia Bulldogs. Those are the three that always come to mind that I just like, man, did I have fun watching those guys play. Braden Gall in for Paul Feinbaum here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. One more. John in South Beach. John, welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show. How are you, sir?
Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I just wanted to also mention another great loss we've had in football, a tragic loss. To me, I just can't think of anyone, unfortunately, is Sean Taylor. And he was, definitely no question, a headhunter, great play, ball playmaker, had a nose for the ball. I mean, the guy was just a supernatural talent athlete, just great leader, great competitor, just heartbreaking what happened. How tragic that unfortunate incident was for him and his family.
Yep. Way too soon. Way too soon. 24 years old when he passed away. And you want to talk about a guy who revolutionized a position and changed a position. I would argue the 01 Miami team is the greatest college football team ever assembled by a large margin. And that does include some elite teams. But Sean Taylor, I want to say, was like a backup on that team. Like, he wasn't even a starter. That's how good they were. He was just like a backup. And Sean Taylor, man, the guy, size, speed, combination at that position on the back end of a defense, just terrifying. And again, gone at 24 years old. Just way too soon. No question about that. 855-242-7285. 855-242-7285. We're going to talk offensive lines. Who has figured it out in the SEC, and who has questions? We'll do that next. Braden Gall in for Paul right here on the Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Paul Feinbaum Show, Braden Gall in for Paul. Honored to be here, of course. We'll get back to your phone calls here momentarily on ESPN Radio, 855-242-7285. And listen, we're talking about all different things here on the show. Lots of star power in the conversation today. Names that we're trying to remember as college football fans of the SEC, elsewhere, other sports as well, with the tragic passing of Nikki McCray. But the stars get all the love, and she wasn't necessarily the very first name you thought of when you thought of Lady Vols basketball, but she was pretty close second. And I've been asking you guys out there to give me names that just made you a more enjoyable fan, that just, the fun of being a fan of the sports that we love. And I think she embodied that. I think Ryan Mallett embodied that. And I think Terry Price embodied that as well at Texas A&M, defensive line coach. All three gone too soon over the course of the last couple of weeks. With that in mind, that's been the question we've been discussing. We are going to talk offensive lines. But Cole Kubelik joining us here, of course, from basically every corner of the airwaves, internet, TV, radio, all across the Southeast. Cole, thank you for giving us some time, man. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great, Braden. Appreciate you having me.
So that's my first question. Just like, and again, some of the point of this is to tell each other about some of the players that maybe we've forgotten about. And so when you're growing up or a formidable time in your life, is there a player that's not the star, not the guy that everyone thinks about that won the Heisman Trophy or played quarterback, but just names that you remember as a college football fan that just you go, man, that's why I'm a fan of this sport?
Well, I call them folk heroes, like college football folk heroes, right? And like I can remember Alabama had a nose guard named Robert Stewart, and I was young, and this is – I love having the conversation about certain guys that we like so much, Braden, because it's when we fell in love with a certain sport.
Yep.
And whether you were 8, 10, 12, 15, when you fell in love with a particular sport – you are probably going to have more of an affinity for some of the guys in that era than you ever will again. And Robert Stewart wore number 34. I'm pretty sure he went to Alabama as a tailback. He was one of those like short, stocky, wide, but not, you know, not overly fat, like didn't have a giant belly. He set every weight room record Alabama had ever had. And they would line him up at a zero nose, so head up on the center, and he would just shoot gaps left and right. And he wasn't a guy that a ton of people talked about. Some of those early 90s defenses had a lot of star power, and he didn't really get a ton of run. But he was a guy that just I just fell in love with him. Pooh Bear Williams at Florida State was another one of those guys. Yeah. Like, listen, being a kid that shopped for jeans in the Husky section when I was growing up, seeing a guy that was like 280 run the football and like not on accident, just short yardage, but he was actually designed to run the football in that Florida State offense under Bobby Bowden. He was a guy that I just loved to watch, that I think I always looked at and said, man, I want to be like him one day if I could just be that guy. Being a Husky kid, yeah, it was always the bigger guys. You know, they athletically could just do more things than most of the other big guys could.
It's funny. I just wrote down Amos Zaraway for some reason. Like, that name just hit me.
Famous Amos.
As you rattle off some of those names. Thomas Davis is one that I mentioned earlier, just a guy that was sort of that hybrid safety linebacker position that we kind of now is so popular across every single defense.
Oh, he would have thrived in today's football.
Yeah, like it's so fun to think about where the game – like, again, Antoine Randle-El is one that was changing the game and the position of that we – you know, when we watched quarterback in the late 90s, he was doing things that nobody had done before, even before Michael Vick, really. So,
oh, listen, I played with Damian Craig at Auburn, and you know, he was – I mean, I remember as a recruit going to games, and, you know, Patrick Nix would come out of the game when they got inside the red zone, and they would put Damian in, and they would run bootlegs, and he had the ability to keep the bootleg and run it, and his legs obviously were a lot more dangerous, and it was by design, but this is way before – I mean, obviously – Terry had what Bobby was doing with Charlie Ward, and so they were implementing some of that. So there, it was kind of from the same tree, and obviously, of course, the same family, no pun intended, but you know, they knew kind of what they were doing. So I think about what Damian would do in today's college football. Like, I played with this is one that not a lot of people will know, but I played with the wide receiver named Ryan Hooker from Pontotoc, Mississippi. He ran triple option in high school, and I remember we were scout team players my freshman year. We played Army in the Poulin Weed Eater Independence Bowl. And Ryan knew how to do it. He knew how to run the triple option. And we just worked our defense every day. And it was a damn good defense that we had. You know, Tequila Spikes and those guys were over there.
Yeah.
We had just a ton of guys that could play, that played in the NFL. And we just worked them every single day because he kind of knew the nuances of running the triple option. He was sub 4.4 and just kind of – he's a quarterback that today – would have all kind of Power 5 offers. They would love to have him. But back then, as sort of a pocket guy, he wasn't really exactly what they were looking for. I think about – there's a lot of guys like that we don't even really know about, Braden, that in today's football would have such a home, would be so welcome, would be so sought after because their skill set would fit exactly what a lot of teams want to do.
Yeah, no question about it. Cole Kublik joining us here, of course, from WJOX. You got SEC Network. You got the Cube Show. You got TV broadcast, of course, during the fall. And – I guess Connor Shaw is another one that I thought of, and I do want to talk about offensive lines if you're willing to stick around for a few more minutes, Cole, with us. I appreciate you being so patient with me here, but I get going with guys like you talking about some of these guys, and it's just it's the era of being very impressionable. Like, for me, it was 1993 to about 2005, which is like my middle school, high school, and college years. Like, those three chunks of my life are just so critical, and then the game changing at that same time. Like, I don't know what the next phase is going to be of college football. Like, I don't know if defense has an adjustment to where we're going with all the rule changes, but it's not just sort of the personality and the style of play and the fun, but it's also the impact they had on the game itself.
No, I don't think there's any doubt. And there will be certain eras in which certain players are going to be able to take advantage of things and make more of a name for themselves. Think about Craig Yeast at Kentucky. I mean, there have been a lot of Kentucky teams where he might not have been able to make a name for himself if they weren't running the air raid. Think about Lynn Bowden at Kentucky. Like, he's like, you mentioned Connor Shaw. Yeah, when you say right. Connor Shaw, I think football player. I know we played quarterback, and we always think quarterbacks, you know, a lot of them are kind of soft. Listen, I do a radio show with McElroy every morning. Like, they're kind of soft by nature, the majority of them. It's what they are. But when I think Connor Shaw, like, I just think gritty, tough, like, hard hat quarterback is what he was a football player, man. He really was. If you needed him to run the ball 30 times, by God, he would do it. Yeah. You need him to throw deep, he would throw deep. Hit over the middle, he would do it. Whatever you needed, he was just going to go out there and do it. I think about, like, Craig Yeast at Kentucky, and I was fortunate enough to be on the sideline when Eddie Grant had to manipulate some of those Kentucky offenses, and all of a sudden, here comes Lynn Bowden. They had an extra week to put in, whatever you wanted to call it, wishbone, triple option, wing T. Like, it was a hybrid of all of them. Eddie was telling us how he was watching Army and Navy and all these other triple, a little bit of Air Force and, you know, some of Gus Malzahn stuff and what he was doing. And then next thing you know, he just goes nuts. And I don't know if he ever makes that kind of a name for himself if he's not given that particular opportunity. He's a good player, good in the return game, good in the screen game. But now all of a sudden, defenders are bouncing off of him. He's running all over the place, fighting Virginia Tech players before the bowl game. Like, how do you not love that kid? I mean, it's just he's one of my favorite college football players that I've covered just because he could do a little bit of everything.
And Connor Shaw, early member of the BDI, the Ball Dome Index there as well, at South Carolina. How about Pat White, a three-star recruit coming out of South Alabama area? You know, like, Nick Saban wants him to play corner. He says, no, I'm going to go to West Virginia, and we're going to run this zone read thing. Like, and all of a sudden, it's like it's in the NFL 10 years later, and is the RPO is one of the most popular things you can do now as an offensive scheme in the highest levels of football because in part, Pat White decided to go play quarterback at West Virginia instead of take a defensive back scholarship from Nick Saban in Alabama. So, Cole, I'm going to be very selfish and ask if you're capable of sticking around for a few more minutes. Are you
absolutely
capable of doing
no, we're good. Go ahead.
All right. So, Cole's hanging out with us. We are going to talk offensive lines. LSU returns every single one. Are they good enough to beat Alabama and to get to the SEC championship game and hold on against Georgia? What about Georgia's offensive line? What about Tennessee replacing Darnell Wright? We're going to talk offensive lines with Cole when we come back. His name is Cole Kubelik. My name is Braden Gall. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show here.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Paul Feinbaum Show, ESPN Radio. We'll get back to your calls momentarily. 855-242-7285. You guys are loaded up, so we'll get back to you in just a minute. My name is Braden Gall. Cole Kubelik joining us here talking SEC offensive lines. And listen, it's factually the most important position on the field not named quarterback because that's what the NFL pays the most amount of money to, not named quarterback. So it's got to be the offensive line. Cole, I want to start with LSU. Last year, you could argue that was the question mark. The running game outside of Jaden Daniels wasn't exactly what LSU fans want it to be consistently. All five of those guys are now back. LSU's never had a problem with talent. Is this now an area of strength that could help Jaden Daniels develop and LSU return to Atlanta as an SEC championship contender?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt, Braden, this has a chance to be the strength of the LSU football team, and that's pretty scary considering how good that receiving core is, how good the interior of that defensive line may be, and maybe how good the linebacker core could possibly be. But you have two big-time tackles that played as a freshman, and I can remember talking to some folks, doing some interviews about the last time I remember two freshman tackles playing in the SEC, and I couldn't come up with one. Not even an example for really even a game or two, but Emory Jones was fantastic. He's got great body control, just superb athleticism for a guy his size. Will Campbell, super solid. And you've got not only the starting five back, but, you know, Charles Turner's back. But there are a lot of folks that say Marlon Martinez, who got most of the go in the spring because Turner was out, may have taken that spot. So now you have maybe two that can play. Dellinger's going to bump over to guard. He's played a lot of football. I had high hopes for Miles Frazier, the FIU transfer last season. He'll be healthy and ready to go this year. So, and you got a true freshman tackle coming in that could potentially push for some playing time. It took them about five games to sort of figure it out, moving some guys around. And that was really the story of that team last year. Everybody said, oh, they're just improving. They're getting so much better. And we had them early in the year, and I said, I don't know if it's just getting better as much as it is figuring themselves out. Like, they need to go a little bit more tempo to make their quarterback more comfy. And when they did, he succeeded a little bit more, needed to give him more design runs. By doing that, loosened up some defenses in a little bit of a different way. And then they got the offensive line set and some of the receivers stepped up. So I think they even have some addition by subtraction on that side of the football this year. And I anticipate that offense to be better than it was a year ago. And they even have quarterback depth with Nussmeier, who I think could be a starter at a lot of SEC schools. But that offensive line has a real chance to be a strength for that football team this upcoming season.
They may not be the best offense in the SEC, Cole, but they are the most complete offense today at this stage of the season. There's no question about that. Alabama, the argument for the Tide losing Bryce Young and trying to return to prominence is that they should be better everywhere else around the quarterback position. How much so is that true at the offensive line spot?
I think it's pretty true. J.C. Latham played good football down the stretch. I think Tyler Booker has a chance to be the best guard in the SEC this year, maybe one of the best in the country. He has star power. Just the athleticism that he brings, his quickness at his size. He's a finisher. He's got that nasty that you love to see an offensive lineman play with. And one thing that I think is kind of cool for Bama this year, Braden, is they're going to have essentially two centers on the field at the same time. It never hurts to have extra brain power. You're going to play in some very difficult venues where you're not going to be able to communicate as much as you want to. And if there's another guy that knows all the calls and can help distribute some of those calls because he's done it, well, guess what? That all of a sudden becomes a big advantage. You know, and you think about, that's a team going to have to play in Starkville, in College Station. You know, that game in Lexington, in a very underrated venue late in the season. And then at Auburn, one of the most difficult places to play in all of college football. You better be able to communicate. They got to get the left tackle spot narrowed down. But Dowcourt at guard, McLaughlin at center, I think they're going to be fine. I love Booker at the other guard. Latham will be solid. I don't know who it is out of the gate. But it won't be long before Caden Proctor, the true freshman, takes that spot, in my opinion. I've seen a little bit of him. I watched him in the spring game. I've had multiple conversations with people that have been around him. He doesn't carry himself like a true freshman college football player. He carries himself like a professional. And some of the things physically that I saw him do against some Alabama defenders in that spring game immediately told me that he's physically capable of getting it done. So this will just be a wherewithal, an understanding of the speed, getting the offense down, you know, snap count, different things of that nature. Once Caden Proctor does, I think he'll be a massive benefit for Alabama this season.
Cole Kublik joining us here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. Braden Gall in for Paul. And there is as healthy a middle class as we've ever seen in the SEC this year. Kentucky, Tennessee, South Carolina, A&M, Arkansas, Ole Miss. You can keep going. But there is a very healthy, strong, quality middle class. There are some questions for some of those teams, A&M and Kentucky, let's say, maybe even Tennessee at offensive line. Which one of these teams has the collection of blockers that will allow the quarterback – that we don't know yet about, to develop and become the star that that fans want to see?
I agree with you first and foremost. I think the middle of the SEC, actually specifically the SEC West, the logjam that's going to be there after LSU and Bama, maybe after A&M, because from a talent perspective, they should be on par with those teams. It's going to be a fascinating watch because I can make a case for you, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Arkansas, even Auburn, with what they brought into the transfer portal and what Hugh Freeze has done early, I can make a case as why they'll be more successful than people think. But then I can also give you reasons why I have real concerns about some of those teams. The weirdest one is Mississippi State because they have guys coming back up front. Cole Smith's a really good center. You got Dollar Bill Johnson going to be back on that offensive line. But Braden, they're going to be asked to do something totally different. I mean, they were taking 67 vertical pass sets per game a year ago, and now they're going to be running stretch zone, and they're going to be running some gap scheme stuff, and they haven't been asked to do that a whole lot. So I do think they have talent, and nobody talks about Jaden Wally out at wide receiver. Quavius Marks would probably not be on anybody's list of running backs to watch in this league. He's really good. The tight end position is one I have some concerns about, because just because they're going to need it, and it's a little bit new for what they're going to do. But I love Will Rogers, man. He's accurate, and he's not afraid to test the middle of the field. I think he's got poise. I think he's a competitor. But this is the first time in his football life he hasn't played in the air raid. He was an air raid quarterback in high school. So it's just going to be so different for that group. I'm interested to see how it goes. But they would probably be the most ready-made if you're talking about the group, even though, but then again, they're going to be asked to be doing something totally different. You look at what Tennessee brings back, and Javontez Braggins is one of my favorite offensive linemen to watch in this league. He's not a first-round talent physically with what he's capable of doing and kind of how he's built, but he just plays the game the way it's supposed to be played. And obviously, you bring Mays back at center, he's a veteran. He was dinged up a little bit last year, but you got a ton of production back, but you lost your best two last year. So how does that thing play out? That's an offense that can protect the offensive line. Auburn is a really interesting case study, because if you're asking me what they had coming back from a season ago, I would tell you, well, not much. And they go out and they get Dylan Wade from Tulsa, who I think can be one of the better tackles in this league. Avery Jones from ECU, who has over 30 starts. Gunnar Britton from Western Kentucky, who started over 30 games. You get Xavier Miller from JUCO, who was the number one JUCO tackle. And then you've got Jeremiah Wright, who is just a glass eater, who's coming back, who was actually on that Auburn offensive line a year ago. Somebody who I would tell Auburn fans to be really excited about what 77 is going to do this year, because he's a guy that's going to be a problem for a lot of defensive linemen. But you don't know how it's going to work. Once again, it's a new system, new guys next to you. How is it all going to piece together? It is a real concern for South Carolina. It is a real concern for Kentucky. It's a little bit of a concern for Florida. It's a mild concern for Arkansas. They lose their best offensive lineman, but Cody does a really good job with that group, and they have enough back to be able to make it work. And when you've got Rocket Sanders and KJ Jefferson, I mean, you're going to figure it out somehow, some way. You'll be okay. Florida's group has some experience, but they lose Osiris Torrance, who was an early round draft pick and was their best. Javon Foster is one of the best tackles in America right now at Missouri, but they have some work to do with the rest of that group. So there's holes all the way through it. And it's interesting because this continuity chart came out recently, and a lot of folks are talking about that. It's just on last year's group. Whoever can find that continuity early and the earliest, and then develop on it and grow with it throughout the course of this season, that's the team in the middle of the pack in either division that's going to exceed expectations.
Yeah, I really, really, Cole, want to buy into A&M and Kentucky. But it's the offensive lines that are just going, all right, I got to see it first. I just don't know yet with those two. But there's a lot to like about both of those organizations heading in to media days. You're in midseason form as usual, my man. Thank you so much for joining us. Cole Kubelik, everybody.
I appreciate you having me, Braden. A lot of fun.
Thank you, man. That dude, every single second of his life, he is in midseason form. Your phone calls, 855-242-7285. My name is Braden Gall. Your phone calls next on the Paul Feinbaum Show right here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Braden Gall in for Paul. Your phone calls, 855-242-7285. Great stuff there from Cole Kubelik. LSU, maybe the best offensive line, not named Georgia, in the SEC. Just get you guys ready for that. Let's head to the phones. Doc in Memphis. Doc, thank you for waiting and being patient. Welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Hey, how you doing, man? Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
I just kind of wanted to say, you know, us on this end of the state in Memphis, we send our condolences out to Rocky Top and on the loss of Nikki McCray. I remember when she was in school putting in at work, man. And so we just want to send our condolences on that end of the, from this end of the state. And but I do have another question that kind of concerns me. You know, we get and talk about sports a lot, and we talk about, you know, different talents, whether it's, you know, SEC, whether it's Pac-12 or whatever the case may be. You know, why are a lot of the, should I say, the lower conferences or the D2 schools or D3 schools be overlooked? Because there are talent there as well. And some of these guys get into the NFL or some of these other leagues like the SFL or the USFL or whatnot, and these guys shine, you know. So, I mean, what will it take for, you know, a lot of the talent, I mean, scouts, recruits, and things like that to look at some of those players, because some of those players be some diamond in the rough or some gems or some things like that. And a lot of them can't make it to your Alabamas or Tennessees or Floridas and things like that. So, you know, they are forced to attend these smaller institutions.
I appreciate the call, Doc. Number one, Collierville High School, baby. That's where Nikki McCray went to high school in Memphis. And so we appreciate the shout out there. I from a pro scouting standpoint, it does not. The NFL has made it very clear it does not matter where you are from. You know, what position you play, what school you played at, what the level of competition is, it does not matter. The NFL will find you if you are good enough. Now, from a scholarship standpoint, I just think it's the nature of the beast. You've got 133 teams. There's only a couple of Alabamas and Ohio States and Georgias, and they're going to take the best of the best of the best. Players develop at different rates and different paces. They come from different situations, and it's just hard sometimes for, you know, listen, these NFL executives get paid millions of dollars to pick players in the NFL draft, and they screw it up all the time. So I think if you're asking, like, how do we draw attention to the group of five, I think we can get creative from, like, a TV standpoint. Like, if there's a group of five playoff, I would be all in on that. Like, are you kidding me? I'd be watching that every second, every game, every snap. It would be spectacular. But we're not going to do that in the spring. Like, that's not fair to the team. So what we're left with is like Ole Miss at Tulane, and that's going to be a huge game in week two. We're going to have Troy at Kansas State, a huge game in the early non-conference. Very good Troy team with a name, John Summerall, the head coach, who will be a head coach in the SEC, folks. Mark the tape. Friday, July 7th, John Summerall. Braden Gall says John Summerall will be future SEC head coach. So I don't know what the answer is to like draw attention. I think, you know, fans like what they like. They like the big stuff. And the vast majority of fans aren't diehards. And even though we're all diehards on this show, it's hard to get people to – South Alabama and Troy is a great football game this year. A great football game. Tulane against UTSA in the final week of the regular season is probably going to decide the AAC championship. That is a great football game. Is game day going to be there? I don't know. That's sort of just the nature of where we are. But I do appreciate the call, Doc. Gordon in Birmingham. Gordon, welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show. How are you, sir?
Player from the past, way past my childhood, Tucker Fredrickson. Number one pick by the Giants. Called him the baby bull. Bear said he was the greatest football player he ever saw.
Man. All right. Tell us more.
Well, he played 4 years with the Giants and was incredible. He was the last of the great two-way players. He was defensive back, too. Didn't play defensive back in the NFL, but he had four incredible years, and then he blew out his knee, which they couldn't repair back then. That was 63 when he graduated. Auburn had only one loss that year and played Nebraska in the Orange Bowl.
Yeah, you said it. First overall pick, 1965 NFL draft by the Giants, and you're absolutely right, like a two-way guy. And again, for someone like me, and thank you for the call, Gordon, who's born in 1982, like that's a name that I need to learn about. Like, I've watched enough NFL films to know, like, the history of the NFL and the stars and the Super Bowl, and we've got great stories on, you know, on the SEC Network about the history of college football and the SEC, and, you know, there's so many stories that have been told pre my life, but it's impossible to cover them all. And we remember the guys that we watched, grew up with. Obviously, that's the most impressionable time in our lives. And folk heroes, that's a perfect word for it from Cole Kublik. Of course, he does a better job than me of coming up with the right word for it. Of course he does. Cole Kublik, the folk heroes of our childhood is kind of the names we're talking about here. And I think, of course, the tragic passing of Nicky McCray has sort of led me to this conversation, dying at 51 years old today, passing away due to cancer. Three-time SEC champion, four Sweet 16s, two Elite Eights, two-time gold medalist, two-time SEC Player of the Year, and not the number one name you think of when you think of eight national championships for Pat Summitt and the Lady Vols. But, man, she's right on that next tier of one of the greatest of all time that's ever played, and defines, in my opinion, defines, like Tucker Fredrickson, a guy that I've never seen play, sounds to me like a guy that would define your fandom if you grew up watching him play for Auburn in the 60s. Like, Jerry Kramer is the guy I wish I watched play as a Packers fan, the offensive lineman. That's who I wish I watched play. More of your calls next. This is Braden Gall in for Paul. Paul Feinbaum Show, ESPN Radio.